Hello, footies, and thank you for joining us once again for Foot in Review, where we've been bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things FIFA and EAFC since 2019. Today's show is proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com, your number one place for you to get better at FC24. Also, if you want to help support this show directly, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including exclusive merchandise, coaching discounts, and much, much more, including ad-free access to the show, which means you won't be hearing this very advertisement. However, we realise that times are tough, so simply leaving us a five-star review wherever you listen to us will be greatly appreciated, as it helps the show grow. We'd also like to thank our Skybox holder, Peter, for his exceptional support. Now, let's get to today's show. Hello, footies. Welcome along to your latest dose of EAFC Ultimate Team Goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoach.com. My name is Dan Wimbush. I am joined by the scout, Nathan Downs, and my main man, Shaq Attack. We've got a triple threat on today's show as we tackle the Team of the Year midfielders, the eagerly anticipated release, or should I say not so eagerly anticipated, depending on which side of the coin you're on, of the Team of the Year defenders, and much, much more. We're going to have our thoughts on the latest SBC releases, including Alphonso Davies and Alex Morgan. We're also going to be talking through the league upgrade grind, how we're going to be tackling it over these next couple of weeks. So much more, the mailbag as well, and our big talking point of the day: should EA just simply let people spend FIFA points or EAFC points on getting hold of players as opposed to just packs? So lots and lots to get into. Nath, let's start with Team of the Year so far. Of course, the guys doing a great job on Friday on launch nights, Chris, Ingvi and John. But Nath, what's your experience been over the past 5 days?
My experience has been really quiet, actually. For those of you in the tier that gets the trading show, I was saying on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday last week, that I am hoarding onto my packs. I'm not opening a thing. So I did go and do some of the midfielder upgrade packs and got nothing out of them. But I've been just keeping a wee eye on what's been happening, what the packs are like. But yeah, it's been a really calm, quiet one. Although I did do a mini weekend league run on Friday, where I tried to go to six, but I miscalculated, didn't look at the wee bar because I've never done weekend league this year, and got to 7-2 and then just quit out the rest because I ran out of time. So just a wee speed one for the player picks and a few extra packs. But yeah, it's been quite tame this week. I'm expecting it to maybe step up potentially as of Friday or next Tuesday, depending on what I do.
Shaq, I know the answer to this question, but how have you been enjoying Team of the Year so far?
Oh, look, it's up and down. I started off really, I think I was away when Team of the Year hit. I was on holidays. I was enjoying the sunshine and having a great time. It wasn't really, I was doing some upgrade packs and whatever. It was fine. Then came back and played weekend league and usual weekend league, 11 wins, whatever happens. There's, as you said, Dan, there's always taxes, death, and 11 wins in weekend league that are certainty, especially for you and me. And the good news was I was just opening some random packs and popped a Ribery Team of the Year icon, which really kind of made my Team of the Year start in a really good way. So pretty happy with that. Pretty happy with the start of it. I mean, but it's just, it is what it is.
Not just Ribery popping up in a pack. It was Ribery tradable.
That's the thing. That is true. I forgot to add that bit. Yes, it was a tradable. And it was off a small Electrum players pack. So we get three gold players and three silver players. And yeah, I just got randomly lucky.
Did you cash in, though? Did you cash in or have you held?
I did. I used him for the weekend league. I'll review him later. He was decent. But I think just the greed, well, not really the greed. I think I really wanted to do best, and I couldn't really fit Ribery and best alongside each other. Whatever I did, I just couldn't fit all. You can only have 11 players on the pitch, and I couldn't really consider having the 12th person on. So it was best for me to just get rid of him.
Yeah, look, I do not blame you. GG's. Look, everybody deserves that luck. It's great that it's gone your way. Fingers crossed it can go both of our ways. Although I did get a Team of the Year icon, Zola. That's on my second account that I don't really play with at the moment. So it's kind of one of those, yay, but also, not so great moments. My main account has had nothing. I have been kind of a halfway house between the two of you. I'm still saving my packs. I've got kind of 50 really big ones. But I've been kind of opening all, everything else along the way, even down to stuff like 80 by 10s I'm opening. I'm really going through the League SBC grind at the moment. I'm loving that Exchange SBC. But look, we'll come on to our, you know, how we're approaching it in terms of the League SBC upgrade grind and, of course, the League upgrade packs that have just been released as well a little bit later on. But let's talk about, of course, everyone's trying to obtain those Team of the Year midfielders that are still in packs as we record this on Tuesday morning. By the time most of you hear this, it will be the defenders and goalkeepers in packs. But Shaq and Nath, look, we have had some SBCs. Of course, they started with a bang with Bruno Fernandes and George Best on Friday. Since then, we've had some other fantastic players released. Let's start with Alex Morgan, who's the more recent of the two to be released. I mean, Shaq, this was a card that terrorised a lot of us in those first few weeks of the game. Is this a card that's likely to do the same, and is it worth completing?
Oh, I loved the Alex Morgan in the start of the game. She was my favorite striker at the start of the game. And I think finesses were amazing then. With Alex Morgan, I think she would still be amazing, but I've noticed that finesses, as we've discussed before, are not as overpowered as they were at the start of the game as maybe what Travellers are right now. But I think I saw Zwayback posting some videos of taking some finesses from outside the box with her, and it was so clean. It was so clean. So I think nostalgia, well, 2 months is nostalgia. Look at us in 2024. The nostalgia will get the better of me, and I might just get Alex Morgan done just for the sake of, you know, look, she gave me so much joy at the start of the game, and she was the first female player that I really enjoyed playing this game with. So I might just do the SBC on that regard. But I think she would be fun. She would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, Nath, 500,000 coins to complete this. And of course, there are so many ways to get fodder at the moment, so it's probably not going to cost you, well, hardly anything, if anything at all, to do it. Looking at the shooting stats, absolutely incredible. That 97 finishing, 94 composure, the positioning's 93 as well. The only thing that's really letting her down are two things. One, the pace is a little bit sluggish, just in comparison to these monster cars we're getting now, 87 acceleration and 88 sprint speed. And also the height at just 5'6". Despite a 90 heading accuracy and a 96 jumping, she's probably not going to fare so well in the air.
No, she's not. One thing that makes up for that, though, I mean, her play styles are ridiculous. She's got one play style plus, which is obviously the finesse shot, but then she's got power shot, tiki-taka, rapid flare, first touch, and Travella. So actually, between the finesse and the Travella, which for depends where you play her, like, we're going to go on to the formation I'm using in formation and review. But if you're playing like the 4-3-2-1, the 5-2-2-1, with those sort of two sort of narrow cam centre forward type players, she could actually be perfect in that role. Either side, I think she's got 5-star weak foot as well.
Yes.
So she could actually, her dribbling is ridiculous. If you put an engine on her, her agility goes up. Obviously, her dribbling's at 99 with that. Balance goes up as well. But with those play styles, I think she could be amazing. I mean, if she was 200-300K, I would be saying everybody needs to do this during Team of the Year to have her at least as an impact sub. Slightly different, 500K plus is slightly on the expensive side for your bench, obviously. But I think if she's in the team, she's not going to let you down if you play her as a sort of centre-forward cam. I think as an out-and-out lone striker, say, don't think she'll do it. I think she'll get bullied. Especially her aggression, I think, is at 56.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that aggression, I mean, you know, someone like Van Dijk or Ruben Dias comes out and shouts boo, then she's going to run behind the goals and cower a little bit. I think she'll be kind of doing that. So I think if you play her in the right position, she could be incredible. But I think it's one of these that may sort of depend on your style of play and your formation you use.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate for this card. I mean, if this was released in, you know, FIFA 22, FIFA 23, I think we'd be a lot more positive on this card. However, when you've got Eusebio sat there, you've got Zico sat there available, you've got George Best sat there available, there are just so many great options for a forward right now that it just almost feels not above the power curve already. It's just kind of level with it. So it's whether you want to invest in that level. But it is a great option. So I said 500,000 coins to do, and you'll be able to pretty much do it for free. It won't let you down there. So again, as Nate said, I think it just kind of depends. It fits in with your play style and whatnot. Link's not going to be a problem, of course, as well, with lots of icons coming, including Sauer, who we believe is going to be released probably by the time you listen to this podcast as well. So you'll be able to get it down. Plus, the number one reason to get this done, and I've mentioned this on the show before, she's got a custom chant. If you have Alex Morgan in your team, you can hear what sounds like an American female crowd going, "Alex Morgan." Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So there
That's
you go.
That's cool. That is cool.
OP custom chants. Let's move on to a player that holds a warm place in my heart when I think of Team of the Year, because this was the first Team of the Year I ever packed. Alphonso Davies has been given a flashback. Not to the same rating as that Team of the Year, but not too far away. In fact, the stats might even be better. An 89 rated guard on this one, Shaq. 99 pace, the big thing. And of course, that lovely whipped pass plus play style. But that's the good. The bad thing, 830,000 coins for a left back.
I think the other thing that really bugs me about this, like, look, I have one of the Davies is, I think it was a Thunderstruck card that I packed, luckily, at some point in time that I use from time to time as a sub, and he's fabulous. He's fantastic. I just put him in the left-back slot, move Batcher right up front. So I love using him as a sub. But 836,000 coins with a defender that's got 80 overall in defending. Look, he'll still be fun. He's got 5-star skills. I think it's just the price and also the links. If he can fit in your team, if you have a Harry Kane, I guess it makes sense. But if you don't have Harry Kane or you don't have any particular links to use him with, I think it's a bit too expensive, in my opinion. There's no shortage of left backs as well. As we discussed even in last week's episode, there's so many left backs.
Now, if I'm going to be holding on to Batcher, she's not going anywhere. I think that card is a more rounded one than this. I mean, 5-star skill moves, 4-star weak foot is nice, high medium work rates. I mean, you could see this card doing well in kind of a wing position. The shooting would need working on, though. 76 finishing off the bat there, and the composure at only 84 as well might let you down a little bit. But, I mean, it's just another fantastic card. But, again, as Shaq says, I think it just kind of gets crowded out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you combine everything, if you're playing a four back, I don't think like he'll be decent, but I don't think he'll be like a Beal and Endo. Like you say, Batcher, I'm running that Bombaster Champions League version, who is ridiculously good, and you know that's good defending and attacking as well. I think the work rates combined with the defending as a four back, he'll probably get caught out quite a bit. But I do think if you are adventurous with your fullbacks, you could be a really good fun option. But like you say, I think the 800k for this card, I think's, you know, in the past we've criticized the EA. I think this year they've actually been pretty decent with the pricing on the whole, but I think this is slightly too steep. Again, I think it's another maybe 200k, a little bit too much. For me anyway, certainly. I know, you know, not everybody wants to have a 99 acceleration and sprint speed type fullback to face every week, but I think it's just a little bit on the steep side for me.
Yeah, I think if you were looking at that Bombaster Champions League hero card, is only about 200,000 coins at the moment, so a quarter of the price. Although again, it's, you know, I'm almost reticent to talk about the cost of these SBCs at the moment because of, I keep saying, there's so much fodder around, it's probably not going to cost you anything. You'll be able to craft most of these cards for free. I mean, if you look at Davies SPC in particular, you know, it's only really that the 188 rated squad that's going to cause you massive problems. The rest, it's all kind of 87s, 86 and I think 185 to start with, with an inform. So again, you should be able to get this done relatively quickly, but I'm not spending that much on a fullback. I think, especially when you've got on the other flank Cafu as well, who's a bit cheaper, I think I'd rather have Cafu than Alphonso Davies. But again, if you are running a Bundesliga side, if this is a particular favourite player of yours, it's versatile, he's very, very fast. And much like Morgan, it sounds like we're being negative on these cards. We're not. It's just kind of we like to think an audience that already has a lot of options, Nate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at this time of the year, it's quite important to remember that. Like you say, fodder's really easy to come by, but the SBCs that have been out even over the last month, you know, you're still talking the Hullets, the Eusebios, that type of player, like you've mentioned already, the Zidanes. Then you've got your Cafus, you've got the Sauer link to come. You've got, you know, from my own personal point of view, the George Best and Bruno Fernandes, because they're United players, I want to craft during Team of the Year. I'm sure there's going to be more Team of the Year flashbacks coming and more sort of even party bags if you want to come. So there's so much to do, and like you say, it's not saying that they're bad cards, it's you've got to kind of, you know, pick your battles if you like and say, right, this is tier 1, 2, 3 that I want to get through from Team of the Year. You know, Alex Morgan might be number 5 on my list. If I get enough fodder for the first 4, you know, she might be the one that I'll be like, right, that's the next one to grind. And fodder is so easy to come by. But I think you've got to prioritize either players that are special to you or players that you think are going to last you you know, quite a way. Because last year, I remember with Team of the Year, there was quite a few SBCs that I certainly did. And a week later, they were pretty much gone because we had, I can't remember what the one after was. It was the one after Future Stars. I think it was like a pink design one. I can't remember the exact promo, but they brought out another pretty juicy promo that you're like, oh, these cards are already obsolete. So it's being mindful of that.
Yeah, and they're out for true. A long time as well. I mean, Alex Morgan's got 29 days left to do. Alfonso Davies has got 28 days left to do. So, like Nate said, I think it's a case of waiting to see the cost of everything that comes out, how your luck is once you've ripped your packs, and then you can make that decision, unless you're absolutely keen on one of these players straight away. If you don't want to go through the SBC route, there is an honourable mentions player you can obtain through the draft objective shack. Get Dante, who's been boosted from, I think his gold card has got 32 pace. This card has now got 80 pace. Of course, Brazilian playing for Nice in Ligue 1. On the borderline, I think, it sounds harsh saying an 89 defender is on the borderline of being usable, but in top divisions, borderline usable. But again, I think this is one that will be heading swiftly into a player SBC or an exchange SBC, Shaq.
Oh, he looks really good in a lot of ways. He's got the block play style. He's got anticipate silver. He's got bruiser silver. He's got aerial. He's got a long ball as well. And look, it comes down to these kind of, this is a question that I ask myself at center backs. It's really disappointing that I even say this in January. Would you rather have this card to save your bacon on the weekend league, or would you rather have Virgil van Dijk? And I think 99.99% of the FIFA community seem to prefer Virgil van Dijk over any other card. So that's the thing. Will this card replace Virgil van Dijk in your squad? I don't really know. He looks like he should, but no, I think I would still stick to VVD. So there you go. He's going to be a really good card to try out, I guess. But yeah, I don't see him being a mainstay. But it's a lovely free card.
Remember we've got an SB a draft token SBC to get on with, and of course if you play one game they give you a draft token. You can play, remember, offline draft all the way down to amateur, it still counts. So look, if you've got a spare hour and you just want to put your controller on rubber, score a couple of goals, put it on rubber band and go watch a program, you'll be able to get this card done. And there's some other packs along the way for you to do so easily doable. But yeah, I mean, if you compare the actual card, I'd rather have the Thunderstruck MTT, who's 20K, and I've used and is brilliant. And I think he's actually got more total stats and more total in-game stats. So that's where I would go on that one. Let's talk a little bit about the actual players then that have been released for Team of the Year. I mean, gents, I don't want to spend too long on them because I think pretty much all of them are fantastic. The only one of them, though, that is really obtainable for the average mortal on this game seems to be Oberdorf, who's coming in at around about 750K. I mean, Nath, can you understand why this card is maybe, well, it is so much cheaper than the rest?
I think although it's German, it's the sort of Bundesliga female division where there's not millions of options. Stat-wise, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I think it looks a very good CDM. It's like we were saying last week, if you want a holding CDM, Rodri or Oberdorf, you know, you can't actually go wrong with, really. Good aggression, amazing acceleration. Sprint speed's not huge, but again, what do you need that for when you're a stay-back CDM? I think it's a nice card. When you say it's obtainable for the likes of you guys. I mean, I'm on the 140K, so it's nowhere near it for me. Although we did identify this as being one of the more packed Team of the Years, which, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't. To be fair, even Rodri, who is up at like 2 million just now, that'll come down when packs are ripped. But I think he'll be more obtainable as well. And he's comparative stat-wise to Vieira, who's slightly different body type. However, you know, I think Vieira is about double the price. So would you take a Rodri or a Vieira? I know coin-wise what I would take. You're right. They're very nice cards, but they're all going to be very nice at this time of the year. Team of the Year is four tremendous cards. And the prices are crazy just now. But we have to bear in mind that there are so many people hoarding packs. So there's been a steady drab of people opening. But I would imagine 75% of packs, especially big packs, are still in people's clubs just now waiting to be ripped. So I think the pricing will come down on most of them. Piteas, who's five-star, that's going to be sky high, I think, for quite a long time. Her 92 is ridiculous as it is. So a nice midfield, although at the same time, there's not one that I'm like, oh my God, I need that card or I want to that card. And I mean, I'd be thankful for any of them, but there's not one of them that was super duper exciting apart from Bellingham, just because Bellingham's just unreal in real life.
Can I ask a question? Sorry, go on.
Go for a chat.
I just thought, interesting question. I mean, you bring up Poteras and she's equally priced to Bellingham. If you had a choice to pick, untradeable, if you had a choice to pick Poteras or Bellingham, who would you choose?
So if you ask me right now, I would go for Poteas. I like the skill moves. I have Hullet, and Bellingham's always been, although he'll be better than the SBC Hullet that was out, Bellingham and Hullet have always been sort of quite comparable, I think. So I would go for Poteas, especially because she would replace the 92 in my squad straight away. But don't get me wrong, they're both going to be fantastic players. And it's purely preference. If you want that extra skill move, Poteas, if you want a bit more sort of direct power, then I think Bellingham's, you know, the sort of wrecking ball that can still defend, shoot, pass, create, score, head, bully, everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, for me, this is trying to choose between two of your favourite pizzas. I mean, I would definitely have both. If I could do a half and half, please. I think Poteas, though, just because I've got gold Poteas and I need a replacement for gold Poteas. So that would be a nice, easy one sliding out. But yeah, I mean, either fantastic. I've had Jude great memories with him in FIFA's over the years. And even the player of the month was in the EAFC, was in my team up until quite recently, till Poteas came in pretty much. So yeah, either or would be brilliant. Of course, these players will dip out of packs probably by the time you're listening to this again. We'll have the goalkeepers and defenders. We'll allow our colleagues on over the weekend, John Ingvy and co, to talk more about those when they are released. Hopefully they will be very packable. Of course, it'll be the most team of the years we have in packs at one time. Remember, the first team of the year icon players will be dipping out as well tonight, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. They'll be replaced by the team of the year icon team two that will be coming in as well. And then hopefully Thursday, we'll be seeing all of them in packs. And then Friday, the 12th man, gents, of course, EA handing us these vote packs. Which I probably didn't please a lot of people because they were probably blocked behind a load of other packs. But choices for the 12th man and 12th women vote. For the men, you had Trent, Cristiano Ronaldo and Valverde. And I think the female options were a Pop, Carmona. And I've just forgotten the other one off the top of my head. Can either of you remember?
Nah.
Yeah.
Again, Pop, Carmona,
I didn't pay any attention to it. I just took random loans, to be honest. So I wasn't too fussed about the 12th man. So I think I took Valverde for the guys one, to be fair. And I think I took Pop for the other one.
It was, she plays for the Atletico Madrid women. And again, I drastically apologise. But
the lady that got the SPC at this, the Bernini.
That's it. Well done, chat. That's why you're here. pick up my dreadful research. So those are your choices of three. I would guess Carmona will win. It's going to be Carmona because of the Real Madrid links, or Pop because it's an 88 rated card and people do gravitate towards that. I don't think there's going to be any debate that it's going to be Cristiano Ronaldo for the 12th man for the men. But you know, those votes are out there. How much they count, we just don't know. But we expect those to be in packs on Friday. Of course, we've got lots more to talk about. We've got the upgrade grind and how we do it. We've also got our main talking point of the day. Should EA just let people go out and buy players with FIFA points now? Plus, we've got the mailbag, formation review and player review. All of that is going to be coming up after this very short break. You're listening to Foot in Review, proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com. Remember, you can help support this show directly and receive a host of benefits, including ad-free access to the show, exclusive merchandise, and access to our meetups, which this year is happening once again over in Crete. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footinreview. Also, if you have any feedback on the show, please follow us on our socials at footcoaching. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Okay, welcome back. Well, now we're going to get into our methods of how we're going to be hammering through those league upgrade SBCs, or whether we're just doing league SBCs or whatnot. But let's get into the main talking point of the show, Shaq. Now, on our socials at Foot Coaching on X this morning, I posted a poll saying, are you in favour or not in favour of EA simply putting players in the store for FIFA points or for coins? And the points, the poll result so far is a narrow majority in favour of having players be available to buy directly for points. Shaq, I'm going to start with you. Where do you stand on this?
Oh, I think it's inching towards that. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm kind of tired of the randomness. It's really fun and it's amazing when you pack something. It's great. But when you're on the other side and just watching everyone around you pack something constantly and you just wonder where the hell your luck is, and if you do hammer in some points and some money as well, and you're still wondering what the hell's happening, I think that's just not a good place to be. So I think EA is slowly transitioning a whole lot of us to the store for the packs, for the actual players anyway. I think it's a really good segue that we start off with getting some loans, and then eventually it'll just go down to buying online at the start of the year in the store for maybe $1,000. And there'd be quite a lot of people that would do that, that would spend their money trying to back the online, whether it's profitable for EA or not, that they will find some way for it to be profitable. But I think I'm all for it. I'm tired of the randomness.
Yeah, I'm just going to read out a couple of comments we had in reply to that post on X. Thank you to everyone getting involved again. Give us a follow if you haven't already. Gameboy says, if I was going to buy points, I'd rather be able to just get a player I wanted rather than a random pack that's most likely filled with useless cards. And Ultimate FC says, anything that takes away uncertainty is good. You know exactly what you're getting, can make a decision based on its value to you. All these casino packs are a nightmare. You've no idea if it's going to be worth it. And 99% of the time it isn't, and you're left disappointed. I mean, Nath, I totally understand and largely agree with what Shaq is saying, but part of me thinks that EA will never go down this route because for them, it's got to be more financially lucrative to get people going back and trying again, you know, spinning the wheel. Where do you think that they'll go? Do you think they will go towards being able to buy players, or will they try and keep the casino open as long as possible?
I think they'll try and do both. I think they're edging towards, like you say, an R9 for, say, £1,000, which... To the average shows a lot of money. I think they'll test the water with a top tier card, even like a Team of the Year Mbappe, say from this year and next year's FIFA, like an absolute pinnacle player for stupid amounts of money. But I also think they'll keep the packs going at, say, a more obtainable price. So it's like, here's what you can get if you want an upfront, but actually there's still a chance of packing these players in here. I would say they would turn down the pack, you know, the pack weight, but I don't really think that's very much possible the way it's been for most of it this year. But I think they'll test the water. I do think that there'll be like a showstopper in store in the next year or so where it'll be like, this is what you can get. I think it's a good and a bad thing. I think, you know, I think it's good that you know, you'll know what you're getting and it's there. I think it's bad because, you know, it gives you more of a inclination to maybe spend money you don't have, you know, to do it certain other ways that, you know, especially when this game's open for younger people, younger audiences, that, you know, they may be pressuring like the parents to get this, or they might be having that FOMO, so they're like, we must have that. So I think if it's done right, it's good. I don't know whether you'll see it, say, at the start of the game, say maybe even £2,000, then a month and £1,000, and then come end game, you can get this R9 for £15, you know, if they do it that way. I don't know. I think a bit in between would be good, because I think certain people just would be like, absolutely not. But I can certainly see the appeal either early game or around now. Team of the Year is probably, if you pack something now, it's a game changer. So start like the start of the cycle and sort of end of September, early October, if you buy a game changing player there, that'll set you up pretty much through till now. So I think they'll go to that. I just don't really know like how they would exactly do it without getting sort of complaints from, you know, parents and people, or if you actually really care about if that's what people think anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq, that one of the main complaints against this has been, you know, people that don't have the resources to put cash into the game, worrying that they'll be forced out by, you know, simply by people that have that greater disposable income level to be able to just go out and buy that. And as Nay said, there'll be others that feel kind of under pressure to keep up with that. Just on that kind of topic, do you think, I mean, is it going to be a case that people will feel that pressure and have to buckle? Or will it be a case of the free-to-play player will still be able to exist and thrive and fight their way up the divisions?
Look, I think 5 years ago, when we could actually use Chris Smalling, the goal, buy in Weekend League or Rivals, you could probably argue the case then that this is just you're spending money for no reason. But as time's gone on, it's clear, all of us are clearly here advocating the fact that it's pay to win. Like, it's really, it's clearly pay to win. The best team on the pitch is most likely going to win. I mean, there might be an exception where someone's really, really bad at the game and they've got a really strong team. But if you're equal players and the opponent's got better players in his squad, he or she is bound to win the game. And that's the game is pay to win. So I don't think we can hide from the fact any longer. There's no point of hiding behind under the sand and expecting things to change. That's the reality. And people will still exist. I mean, look at us right now. We come across people that have a stacked team. We still give it a go. Sometimes we win, sometimes we don't. Well, we just shrug our shoulders and move on. And that's pretty much what's going to happen in the future as well. If someone does want to engage with the content in the way by giving EA money, it's all power to them. That's completely fine.
Yeah, as long as there remains a pathway for you to obtain these players and they're not, you know, the only way you can get these players is by spending lots of money on them, I think, you know, it's all for the good. But yeah, I think they will have to put them at a very, very high price point because, again, we've talked about this before. If EA give people too much too quickly, like say if they, you know, put a triple pack, Mbappe, Neymar and Messi in a store for £80, I think a lot of people would just do that the same way they invest at the very start of the game in FIFA points. I mean, I myself put on about £30 at the start of the game. If the option was there, I'll spend £80 and you get three of the very best players that are going to last you for 2-3 months. Part of me, a strong bit, would be tempted. So I think EA will have to put them at a really high price point because otherwise it will flame people out early.
One of the things that EA has done smartly this year is just look at the trajectory this year. Look at the number of free packs they're getting this year. Look at the number of SBCs we're getting this year. So to your point, EA is providing items that you can actually procure through SBCs. And with so much fodder that's been given free, like literally free, there's so much fodder that you keep constantly getting that you can use to get your cards to upgrade the SBCs. And alongside that, if you have a fast track method where you can actually spend some money and get this particular card at any given time, there you go. You're given the option, the long drawn out method of trying to play the game consistently for a month and a half or 2 months and get the fodder you need to get a USO APO, or just spend $20 or $40 or $100 on getting a USO APO right when it's released. There's an option right there for you.
Yeah. And I think, go on.
I think what you will see, if this does come into fruition, I think you'll see the end of low-key sort of people grinding their way up through the divisions, unless you're somebody, you know, like one of the top, you know, like the Harry Hesketh, who, you know they do put on points, don't get me wrong, but unless you're of that caliber, because we were saying offline, my team's a month old, and I'm in Div 3, I'm 2 games away from Div 2, not put anything on, and, you know, my team's behind the curve already, but we're fighting our way through, you know, between co-op and whatever. I think if there's these players in packs in the store, that becomes even more difficult, because I think you'll find players in the lower divisions will buy these to try and move up. So I think it'll be the end of the casual grinder, if you like. You know, somebody that's not just playing the game now and then, but somebody that's potentially not of a skill level to get up to Division 2, 3 that over a whole season would end up creeping in there. I think it would be, you know, you'd see these players settling in Div 7, Div 8, Div 6, whatever they are, which, you know, that's not a slight on them. I just think it would kill the semi-casual players rather than, you know, the true grinders or the normal casuals.
Another perspective. I have a friend of mine. I'll give a live example. He doesn't play the game as often, but he's got a lot of coins. He opens auto packs, whatever. He doesn't engage a lot with the game. He just came back, I think, just 2 days ago, wondering what to do with the game. And I said, do this SBC, do that SBC. And he said, He said, no chance. I can't grind towards a holder. It's too much work. I'm not going to bother doing that. For these kind of people, you give an option of spending X, Y, and Z dollars to get a card that they play, that engage with the game. They will move on. They'll play for a little while and they'll go away. Because we might think of doing these SBCs as second nature because we engage with the game so heavily. We love the grind. We love doing this. There's a lot of casuals that couldn't be bothered doing a 50 grind SBC to do the upgrade packs, to do all the gameplay content to get those packs. They just can't be bothered. So those kind of people just will want something and they will engage with EA's content and they will make EA some money along the way as well. That's probably what EA is angling towards anyway.
Yeah, and I think EA have played a bit of a blinder on the financial point of view this year because I think, like you said, Shaq, that they put so many good SBCs out there that they're, you know, people are working towards Eusebio and they're like one or two squads away. Oh, what do I do? Oh, there's an 88 by 10 pack in the store. I'll just do that and finish this off. So packs have gone away almost from being not just your one chance of striking it mega lucky. They've now turned into a place of, oh, I'll just use this to finish this SBC and get my mega squad. So it's a tricky one. It is a tricky one, but we will see. But look, keep your thoughts coming in. at Foot Coaching across all of our socials. If you've thoughts on this, we'll try and read out some more comments. If we get them later in the week, do let us know what you think. Let's talk about the grind then, because we mentioned it there for obtaining SBCs earlier in the show and going forward as well. Of course, yesterday saw the release of the league upgrades, changed to other years because, of course, they've now combined the men's and women's league into the same ones. Pretty similar, though, in terms of what you get back. For the premium ones, you get 11 players, 7 commons, 4 rares. And for the standard upgrades, you get 4 players. One of them will be rare. Nathan, I'm going to start with you. What is your approach to recycling, grinding through these menus? What are you going to be doing over these next 2 weeks?
So currently I'm waiting until Thursday before I really do any of them. So I'm going to wait for the marquee matchups where you get some of the tradable packs back. I don't want to send all my lower rated golds and leave these out, although obviously they'll come once I open packs. But I just want to have as big a number before I start opening as I can. With them, it's going to be a combination. So as I get dupes, obviously I'll try and recycle them. I need to decide whether I'm going to go to the sort of the Spanish route or the English route. I might do a mixture of both, or I might just go full ham on one and see. I'm sort of verging towards the Premier League because that's who I kind of have a more of an affiliation for anyway. I think at the moment my plan is to do the premium ones, recycle the common golds into the standard upgrades. I really want to do, like I said earlier, Bruno Fernandes and George Best. So they're my two on my list. Any other high rated dupes I'll probably do into the other recyclables where you can put in your 85s, 86, 87s, 88s, whatever, and then get more cards back that way. So it's going to be a very, very slow grind. Once I'm bored of that, I'll probably move towards the league SBCs as well, just to give a little bit, you know, some tradable packs, but just a bit of differentiation because I've got a horrific attention span, Dan, which you'll know from even playing Rivals, playing Goat with me. Like once my attention span goes, I just get really bored and just mess around. So I think that's the way to go for me personally. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be an intense week because I've saved them all. I'm waiting to hear from John Talking Foot. I might go and meet him on Tuesday if he's free and open packs with him. If not, I'll be cracking open probably Friday or some point like that.
Shaq, what about yourself? How are you going to handle this monster?
So I've got this plan going in my head, at least, that I will start off as soon as I open these packs. It's all the high-rated stuff is going to go straight into Sour and then Best. So that's going to be my focus. And all the duplicates that I get for, not high-rated, the lower-rated ones, non-rare golds and rare golds will go into, controversially, the League One and the D One, because I think I just had a look at this and they have 89 gold, rare gold players, and 30 of them are above 85 rated. So that'll really bump up some sort of pack value for me to put towards these player SBCs. Once I'm done with the two player SBCs that I'm chasing, I think Sawa and Best are the ones I'm chasing, then everything, it'll go full ham into the Liga, La Liga and Liga F, as well as the Premier League and WSL. That's going to be where all my every single bit of no man left behind, no woman left behind attitude for a while is just going to go into grinding those over and over and over again till my fingers have no feeling anymore.
I already kind of know that feeling, and it brings back my memories last year of grinding and grinding and grinding and finally getting Van Dijk about a day before they went out of packs, and just feeling. I said to Nathan before we started recording, if you sit there on your phone for too long doing these episodes, a kind of nausea does come over me where I'm kind of like completely zoned out. It's probably just a lack of movement. But so yeah, please move around, people, and stay hydrated. I'm going to be doing a combination of both. I love the League SBC aspect purely for the fact that in my head, I think the packs are more likely to pop something. I never seem to get anything from these league upgrades. But also there are tradable cards within there as well. So it does kind of give you a way to keep the fires going in terms of coins. And then off league cards, then I will put those into the league SBCs. I think, Nathan, I'm going to go down your route. I think I'm going to go Premier League and WSL because, yeah, I think they fit my team a lot more. But will I dabble and do the odd one from Spain? Probably as well. It is very hard to do No Man Left Behind, though. It is very tricky. You know, you end up, you know, we get 2 gold commons in a pack and you're like, do I really want to go and recycle them into an 11 player?
objective. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Daniel. Let's be honest. Don't kid any of the listeners. And so maybe every sort of, you know, person that's not quite as committed to the grind will just quick sell them or discard or whatever. But Daniel,
I've been quick selling some of them. I've been quick selling
some
of
them. You will not. Let's be honest.
No, I've been doing it already. No, honestly.
Once Everington pack, you cannot kid a kidder. No. Once Everington pack, you will be. Have you seen that meme where there's like somebody on the computer and they're all shriveled up? You know, it's all just veins and skin. That'll be you for a whole week. You'll not leave your desk. You'll be sick from work. Your kids will be left outside. It'll be stuck to the machine and recycling.
Now, look, I have a threshold here, and my threshold is because gold commons are so easy to come by now. With those exchange SBCs, like Shaq mentioned, you get 56 players for an 80, you know, get a dupe 89. I don't think it's time effective to have a complete every man and woman left behind policy. I think when you've got two or three, sometimes it's best just to move on. Of course, if your supplies are running low, it's a different story. But at the moment, I've got 2,200 players in my club, and I think about 500 of them must be gold commons, if not more. It's just they're so easy to come by. And I think there is an argument as well for, especially right now, if you do have lots of commons, to maybe just go into the straight gold upgrade, because at the moment it's 11 commons to get one gold rare and three gold commons back, or you can just go straight for 11 commons in and get two gold rares back. So if you are looking to fuel the premium upgrades, it might be more worth you just going through the bulk standard gold upgrade. Of course, you've got the winter wildcard crafting upgrade still open for a bit as well. But if you've not got any of those left, I've just been doing that. I've been putting 11 gold commons into just bulk standard gold upgrades. Yes, you'll get some duds. You'll get 75, 76 rated. Not ideal. And of course, you've got less chance of a team of the year than in one of the, you know, upgrade packs. But I think for a longer term grind of keeping it going for the premium upgrades anyway, I would go for those common gold upgrades, Nath.
So if you've got, here's a question. I know Shaq's obviously saving. Adam in our Discord is an absolute maniac who's got about 600 and something packs. I'll be about 210, I'd imagine, by that time. My plan now is to, once marquee matchup's gone, is empty all my golds if I can. I don't really have many high rated ones, but if I do, I'll keep them. But anything below probably an 82, 83, I plan on emptying into some sort of upgrade before I start opening my packs for real. How would you go about that? What would you say stick all these rare and common golds into?
I mean, Shaq, what would you do?
I still have the winter wildcard crafting upgrade for all the non-rare. So that I think there's some really, towards the end, there's a lot of really good packs. I don't know if you gents have completed those SBCs, but towards the end, you get an 83 by 10 and you get an 83 by 20 as well. I think the last 20 or 30 of them, and I have about 35 left. So all my non-rare golds are going to go there. My rare golds will get smashed into, I think, the Liga as well as the Premier League. All those upgrades, they're just going to get... I completely understand the discussion about League SBCs, and League SBCs were the reason I really enjoyed Thunderstruck. But I can't. The number of cards we'll be getting, I cannot be on top of, oh, this card goes here, that card goes there. After a certain point, I just lose any interest. I'm just like, I don't care. Rare gold, you go here. Non-rare gold, you go there. And that's pretty much it, because I can't really segregate my mind. And I get, like Nathan, I get bored very quickly.
Yeah, well, the League SBCs, well, you've got the Libertadores Sudamericana section as well. And that is pricey. At the moment, it's probably going to cost you, so if you're being good and you're bidding on players, you might be able to get it done for about 10K. Otherwise, it's probably going to cost you 15, 20K if you're just lazily buying them. So you will see that coin balance diminish. So if you have got, say, you know, 100K or less, it might not prove cost effective. I would say to people, go out and bid on these players. And my tip, again, for those of you grinding League SBCs, go set up a dummy squad of Libertadores and Sudamericana squad. Just go create a squad, build it, make sure it fits that 74 rated requirement with the appropriate number of goals. And then just go back to that squad a few times a day, click on the players and just bid on a few. And you will save a lot of coins, especially if you're playing to hammer it over and over and over again. It might not seem a lot saving because it's competitive. I'm not saying you're going to pick up a 2.5 grand player for 300 coins, but you might pick up that 2.5K card for 2K. And that's not, it might not seem a lot first time round, but when you're on the 20th time round, it will seem like a lot. So that is my top grinding tip. But look, lots of different ways to do it, which is great. it's, I said, I think EA, in terms of menu content and the grind, have absolutely nailed it. I mean, those exchange, I don't want to say generous, because I don't think it's generous, but I'm surprised that we got those duplicate exchange SBCs, put it that way.
They last for 11 days or something as well. Like, yeah. Half of me when I saw them thought, again, what, they're going to bring these out for the mini release or the pre-release, but I thought they would be taken away as soon as full team comes in. So kudos to them. Again, we don't always praise them, but I think the venue's spot on at the moment.
Just for those just paying attention, those exchanges are so good. I just did a live exchange just now. I put an 88 in, exactly, got 27 players, but I got an 87 back along with those 27 players. Use the non-rare goals live. I just did this a few seconds ago. I put all those non-rare goals into the Winter Wildcard crafting upgrade and three rare goals, and I got Messi in those three rare goals. I mean, it's a Messi gold. It's not Messi team of the year, but it's still a 90 rare card.
What a troll.
So it's possible. I think that's what I intend doing.
And again, also bear in mind that EA have re-released the premium bronze, silver and daily gold upgrades, and they've juiced them. They've doubled it. You can now do the bronze and silver ones twice. The gold one you can do four times as well. So again, for just keeping your club going, there are lots of ways of doing it. So if you're starting a new account, it's a brilliant time to start a new account as well. So look, lots to get into. We've still got a couple of things to talk about before we wrap up the show, and we're already at around 45 minutes, so let's plow on. It is time for the return of Formation in Review. And today's Formation in Review correspondent is Nathan Downs. Nathan, what formation are you going to be reviewing for us?
Yeah, so I'd like to talk about the 5-2-2-1. One of our coaches at Foot Coaching, Artyom, released a video on his YouTube channel and in our Discord. He's a bit like a mad scientist, to be honest. He's very, very aggressive in the way that he plays. His one was about a million depth, everybody charging forward. I think he managed to go 20-0 with that, I think, though. So it's very good for him. For my style of play, it was a little bit exposed. So what I've done is I've tweaked it. One of the keys, though, is the middle centre-backs is on get forward. So I've evolved David Alaba, who's very good as an all-around centre-back rather than changing, you know, Hullet into there or whatever. It's fantastic. It's very compact defensively. Bonpasta on one side. I've got Laudrup, the Titans icon, I think it is, or Thunderstruck. He's outstanding going forward. On the other side, one hole the midfielder, which sort of differs between McAuley and Roy Keane, depending on how Man United I feel. And then Piteous and Hull at either side of them. And up front, I'm actually running Diego Forlan and Danny Welbeck for my United past and present strikers. And they're doing the job, to be honest. Like I said, they got me top end of Div 3, decent weekend league run before I did it. Very compact, very good. There's plenty of options for passing. The key is the fullbacks or the wingbacks, though, because you can always switch it to a wingback with a wingback. So you can keep the ball, but by progressing as well, you don't just have to keep the ball keeping the ball's sake. So excellent. I use bounce and fast build-up, which is slightly different. Usually I'm bounce, direct passing. Fast build-up just means it moves a bit quick and you feel like you're not being a total rat by playing a five back. I'm really enjoying it. I've been playing it since I've been back, actually, because it all started because I didn't have any wingers, so I thought I'll go five backs. I had loads of centre backs instead. John, Foot Coaching John, has used this now. He uses 3-5-2 in this 5-2-2-1. He's had some really good results with it too. So, fully advocate if you are trying a five back, go. You know, RTMs is a very good base, although I kind of lower the depth, put one of the centre mids on stay back, and a few minor tweaks, but excellent sort of all around formation.
Shaq, tempted to give it a go.
Formation and review. I have I'm using the same old formations that I think Kevin Foot created last couple of weeks ago with the 4-4-2. Worked really well in Foot Champs this week for me. Really enjoyed that, and I will just have a look at his Twitter feed and have a look at the formation he set up. It's really, I think the biggest difference in that particular formation is the left mid and the right mid are put on come short. And apparently that's one of the tactics that Andreas Vergang used last year when he was really dominating and using the 4-4-2 a lot. And that really does help. It's weird. You see, your wingers are not really wingers, but then they suddenly become wingers and they come short and they just outside the box. And then before you know it, they're actually on the, it's a really, I really enjoyed using it in this particular iteration of champs, and I really want to continue using it because I had really good players. It worked really well, scored a lot of goals, conceded a few goals because I don't have a true CDM. I think if you have a high defensive, a medium attacking midfielder, it really would enhance the formation a lot more. That's what the tactics actually are prescribed for you to have. But I'm using Hullet and Pateas, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm still rocking 4-2-3-1 that I've been using for the best part of 3-4 weeks now. It's doing the job. Sometimes it's a little bit annoying because I don't get the presence in the box that I like for whipping crosses in, which kind of links into player in review, because I'm going to be reviewing Team of the Year Hansen. I did the nano pack and got a 10-game loan of Hansen. So I am one of those loan rats that's used a loan. It's there for me. I'm going to use it. I faced loans in probably 75% of my games this weekend, and helped me get to 12-7. Was briefly on for 14 and then threw away a 4-1 lead in my chance to win the 13th game. So never mind. But my thoughts on Hansen are good. I think she is very good. The problem that I have with these players is I don't use 5-star skills very often, so I'm not going to get the best out of them. Now, the whipped cross plus was useful, some nice pinpoint balls into the box. I just mentioned this formation, not the best for getting a lot of aerial presence. I've got Eusebio and Pateas is my cam in that formation as well. So again, not a lot of massive aerial presence there. And Mbappe is my other winger. So he okay in the air, but not brilliant about getting into the right position for headers and volleys. So I didn't get the absolute most out of it. And I never seem to get into position. This is a list of things I don't do. I don't get into the position for Travellers either. So for me, Hansen was quite wasted. But would I be going out and spending 5 million coins on this player? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way on earth. My 84 rated red evolved Gareth McCleary did just as good a job. I won just as many games with Gareth McCleary as I did with Hansen. I'm sorry. That's just it. And the motto here, to me, is that for the vast, vast, vast majority of players, don't worry about the FOMO with these Team of the Year cards, because a lot of them, especially players out wide, aren't going to make that massive difference. To me, the only ones that are going to make the big, big, big differences are your Haaland and Mbappe through the middle. And we saw in the FC Pro, I don't know if you guys saw any of the FC Pro live event last night, Haaland was destroying people.
Yep.
And of course, the big one, I said we were going to talk about it briefly and whether you were looking forward to it or not. Team of the Year Virgil is coming, guys. He's almost here. And if you think, I still rage at facing Gold Van Dijk. I will lose my sanity facing this Team of the Year Van Dijk. I'm not looking forward to it. I might have to go hide behind the sofa and just put my controller down. So anyway, that's my review on Hansen. Very, very good. 5 million, no. Would you pay a million coins for it? I mean, absolutely. It's still a very top tier card. And if you're someone that uses 5-star skills, you'll get an absolute boatload out of her. I just didn't. So Shaq, we'll finish with you. Talk us through your experience of using that icon, Ribery, Team of the Year icon Ribery, before you sold him.
Before I start talking about Ribery, I completely agree with what you said, Dan. Like, these cards they just create FOMO. They just look really good on your squad. They look amazing when you look at them on your mobile phone. Look at your squad and think, look how colorful my squad is. But a gold Hansen will get you exactly the same wins as Team of the Year Hansen. Sure, you might feel like you have an advantage in game, but it's going to be exactly the same. It's not going to be a great, great, great difference. And yeah, going back to Team of the Year icon Ribery, I actually, like I said at the top of the show, I was lucky enough to back him in some random pack. And I was really excited to try him out. And he was good. He was extremely good. And I think one of the things that really stands out with this particular card is his passing. His passing was impeccable. I was using him in this 4-4-2 on the left as a left mid, and I don't think he misplaced a single pass. So I was scoring a lot of goals because he was giving those passes straight through to Eusebio, straight through to Mbappe, and he was finding Pateas as well, who was able to do the tiki-taka and get some space through. And I kept using him as a winger constantly. And then he's got two play styles, which is he's got the finesse plus, of course, and he's also got the agile dribbling one. I'm blanking on the actual name of it. And he was incredible, really, really incredible. Again, the only reason I decided to sell him in the end was I didn't think he was 2.2 million worth a player. He's a great player, great everything, but just 2.2 felt a bit too steep for what he was producing. Like I said, he was barely scoring and he was just giving all these passes from the wings. And I think I tried to play him as cam as well. And this is something about his body type. He should be agile. He feels agile, but he just feels a little bit stocky. He just feels a little bit bulky that he can, he's got some physicality to him, weirdly. He's good, but not 2.2 million good. So if you're a big Ribery fan, you've always used him in the past. Yeah, this card's good. But yeah, just wait for him to drop in price, I guess.
Do you feel a bit like Ginola?
I think Ginola's finishing is way better. Way better.
Ginola's just obscene, though. Like, yeah, again, it's how you use Ginola, but I wouldn't hear a bad word about any of the iterations of Ginola I've used over the years. I just think that he's not a winger, although his position's a winger. I think if you play him as a striker or even a cam, I think he's like he's almost Haaland-esque in terms of like unplayable.
He doesn't miss. Ginola doesn't miss. Whatever you do, he can just shoot and shoot and shoot, left foot, right foot, whatever. He'll just bang it into the goal.
Yeah, I had that purple version of him last year. Just one of my favourite cards in the entire game last year. Was in my team for pretty much to the bitter end. Was fantastic. But look, we are pretty much fresh out of time. We do have a question in the mailbag from Grandpapa Matt Chris, but I'm going to leave that to the Friday show. He's asking us what would be our dream combo for double play styles. But I'm going to let John and Ingvi field that one because we've talked and talked and talked and talked. So I'm, you know, leave them for something, you know. Because plus all the players would have been out by then. So, you know, they need something to talk about. But that does just about wrap up the show. Again, if you do want to get involved, you can, of course, listen live and, of course, a host of other benefits. Joining up to the Patreon, patreon.com/footinreview. You get merch. You get coaching discounts. You get the trading share if you're at supporters tier and above, which Nath and Shaq did. I had a bit of a cold last week, so I couldn't record. These two did well. And if you follow their advice, you would have made a fair few coins this week. So GG's. Of course, that is just one of the perks. We've got the meetup coming in Crete as well. You know, we are into 2024 now. The May meetup in Crete is just weeks away. I'm so jealous of everybody getting to go. Unfortunately, I can't get the cover to look after the kids, but I'll be there in spirit and I'll be here probably recording a show in the meantime with you two as we talk over whatever we're into in May. It'll probably be what, team of the season probably? While they're over there
probably
in Crete?
Probably just about.
Yeah, so plenty to look forward to. Again, best of luck to everybody out there. However you are hunting those blues and those white icon cards down and the honourable mentions when they come out as well later in the week, please don't get FOMO. Don't be lured into spending money that you can't afford or coins you don't want to spend just because you've seen, and look, I've seen these obscene packs on Twitter. We've all seen them. You know, the guy that gets the double walkout of Ronaldo and Mbappe. Somebody wins that. Remember, folks, somebody wins the lottery out there every week. Someone wins that Euro Millions, that 125 million. And that's the one that gets the attention, not the millions of others that have won nothing and have hit one number. Yeah. So don't get the FOMO. Keep going. Try to stay calm. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. These cards are going to be in packs for a relatively long time, 7 to 10 days. So you'll have lots of time. Nath, anything to add before we go?
No, it's been good fun talking. I still call it Classis as pre-team of the year because in my head it's still pre-team of the year, but it's been great being on with the two smoothest voices in FIFA.
Your five is in the post. Shaq, anything from you?
No, it's just hold on and enjoy Thursday. Enjoy the back ripping. And just remember, no man left behind. I'm only joking. Just enjoy yourself.
No
just
person, Shaq. No person.
No man, whoever. Don't leave them behind. I will leave them behind, though, because, yeah, I got too many players. On that note, we're going to leave ourselves behind. We're going to leave the show behind. Thank you again to everybody that has shown your support for the show. Thank you to everybody who's watching on YouTube, of course, and on Spotify. Thank you for those 5-star reviews and all the support. It means a great deal. It's been a great start to 2024, and we will only get bigger and better with your support. So thank you very much indeed. For all of us, one thing left to do. Nath?
Drop it.
Jack?
Drop it.
We are going to drop it.
F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T F U T